Just a reminder that we pick up our series this morning. We've been looking at the dying words of Jesus, the seven things that he says as he hangs on the cross. And this morning, we're looking at John 19, verse 28. But I'll pick up the reading from verse 16. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. This is God's word to us this morning. I think you'll find it helpful to have your Bibles back open at John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And with those words open in front of us, let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Our God and our Father, many of us read the words in John's Gospel this morning that as we know the truth that Jesus speaks, it's that truth that sets us free. And so, Father, we ask this morning, please, that as we listen to words that come from Jesus' lips, that the truth that is contained in those words may be truth that sets us free. And we ask it, please, in his name. Amen. I want you to picture the scene. It's been abnormally dark for 3 hours. Before us are three crosses. In the middle hangs Jesus. Naked, bleeding, bruised, suffering. He's been hanging on the cross by this stage for nearly 6 hours. And as he hangs there, he probably by this stage has a throbbing headache. His fever is probably very high. And he hangs there dehydrated. That is the physical effects of crucifixion. Few words have come from the mouth of Jesus as he's hung on that cross. He hangs there dying, But as we get to chapter 19 of John, verse 28, three words come from Jesus' lips. Actually, there are only one word in the language that he spoke, but three words in English. He says the words, "I am thirsty." It would be easy, wouldn't it, to pass over such words as you read the account of Jesus' death very quickly. It would be easy to just pass over them as, well, yeah, he was thirsty. He had a fever. He was dehydrated. He is thirsty. But actually, as Jesus speaks, he always speaks for the benefit of others. And these words are no exception. As he hangs there dying, he is giving us understanding of why he is hanging there dying. He is giving us a window into this act of love that he is in the process of completing. Despite the pain of his suffering, look at closely at verse 28, he knows what he's doing. He is being very deliberate in what he says, knowing, it says, knowing that all was now completed and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus speaks. He says these three words. It's really important for us to understand that Jesus is not acting. Jesus is not simply performing a set of lines in a play. He is really suffering physically. He is thirsty. But he knows what he's saying. He is in control of what he's saying. And Jesus deliberately speaks for our benefit this morning. In these words, Jesus is speaking a message that every one of us needs to hear. He has a message that he wants to portray to us. What is that message? What is that message that he wants us to know? It's this. Life without him, life without Jesus, is a thirsty life. A life without Jesus is a life that can be pictured by this very powerful and emotive image of dying of thirst. It's a life that can be pictured by the physical thirst and exhaustion as Jesus neared death. Think about the image of thirst for a moment. Thirst is really being in need, isn't it? We use the language of thirst pictorially as well. We thirst for certain things. Thirst is our body's way of telling us that we're on a path to death. Now, most of us don't get close, do we? Because we just go to the tap and we get a drink. But if you don't go to a tap and get a drink, and you are thirsty, then your body is telling you, you are dying. Without Jesus, we will live a thirsty life. And without Jesus, we will die a thirsty death. And what Jesus really wants us to understand today from the meaning of these words, I am thirsty, is that it's only in him, it's only in Jesus, will our thirst be quenched. That is the great message that Jesus wants us to understand as he hangs on the cross and he says these words, I am thirsty. That life without him is a thirsty life. The question for us this morning then is why? Why is life without Jesus a thirsty life? How do these words that he spoke on the cross, I am thirsty, lead us to this message that life without him is a thirsty life? Well, first of all, because Jesus is the spring of living water. Jesus is the spring of living water. Two times in the book of John, once in chapter 4 and once in chapter 7, Jesus identifies himself as the spring of living water. Let me put the words from John 7 on the screen. This is what it says. This is what Jesus says. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Jesus identifies himself as the stream of living water. Thirst and water are two images that understandably slot together, aren't they? Think about thirst again. Thirst is a picture of death. You go thirsty, you will die. Water, however, is a picture of life. You drink, you live. They're very basic images, everyday images for us. And if we deliberately cut ourselves off from a water supply, If we do it for long enough, then we will die. And in calling himself the spring of living water, Jesus is identifying himself as the source of life. And if we push that a step further, it means that he is identifying himself as God. Jesus is God, the source of living water. In an Old Testament book called Jeremiah, God speaks and he says to his people that he is the spring of living water. And if we join the dots, what Jesus is saying when we get to John's gospel is that I am God. I am the source of life. John tells us that it was through Jesus that all things were made. In him was life. Jesus is God. Jesus is the source of all life. And life. What do we mean by life? Well, life in John is such a rich image. It's more than just our physical existence, although yes, that does come from him. But life in John is about a living and a lasting relationship with God. Life, the source of life, the source of that relationship comes from God. And Jesus is saying, we've got to get the bigness of this. Jesus is saying, I am the spring of water. I am the source of life. I am the source of that lasting and loving relationship with God. Jesus says, I will give you life, real life, eternal life. In me, there is joy, there is peace, there is comfort, there is understanding, there is everything you will ever need because I, Jesus says, I am the spring of living water. Now, I hope you're beginning to see the link that if you leave Jesus out of life, then you become thirsty. I hope you can see why that is a true statement. If Jesus is the spring of water, then as we cut ourselves off from Jesus, as we forsake him, we cut ourselves off from the spring of living water and we become thirsty. Let me just put those words up from Jeremiah that I quoted from earlier. God says to his people, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns, that cannot hold water. Just look at the first sin that he lists there. The people have forsaken God. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that they've turned their back on him. It means they have withdrawn from him. It means that they no longer look to him for all they need. They have cut themselves off from the supply, the source of life, from the source of everything they ever needed. And so it is. Life without Jesus is thirsty because you cut yourself off from the spring of living water. We cut ourselves off from a lasting and loving relationship with God. Think about it physically. If there is no water, there is no life. And now think about it spiritually. If there is no Jesus, there is no life. As we reject Jesus, we are rejecting God. And as we reject God, we are rejecting the spring of living water. Jesus is the spring of living water that we've all forsaken. There is no exception in this room. We have all forsaken Jesus. We have all turned our back on God. And if you're still not convinced, then these words, I am thirsty, give us a window into the truth that we have forsaken God. We have cut off the spring of living water. Even in the words, I am thirsty, words that show us that he is dying. He is dying. He is very close to death at this point. They prove to us that this world is a world that does what? It forsakes the spring of living water. What do we do when the spring of living water turns up? We nail him to a cross. There is the evidence. I am thirsty. We have killed the spring of living water. That is what we do. So the world has rejected Jesus, and we are very much part of that world. The very fact that we kill the spring of living water when he comes is a sure and true fact that we have forsaken our God. Life without Jesus is a thirsty life because of who Jesus is. Jesus is the spring of living water. God himself, no Jesus, no water, no water, no life. Life without Jesus means we are guilty of forsaking God. And so you see, why is life without Jesus thirsty? Because he's the source of water. But secondly, life without Jesus is a thirsty life because Jesus is the one who took our thirst as his own to give us living water. We've just considered that as we forsake Jesus, the spring of living water, what we've done is we've cut ourselves off from the water supply. We thirst. We live thirsty lives. But thirst here is also a picture of that separation from God, which it leads to. And it's a picture of where our separation from God will take us. As Jesus hangs dying on the cross, and as he says, I thirst, I am thirsty, yes, it's a glimpse into his physical suffering. But actually, that's only the tip of the iceberg, because there is a much deeper, much more painful suffering that is happening here. It's the suffering of Jesus standing in our human shoes. It was the suffering of facing the thirst of separation from God. In his humanity, Jesus had never known separation from his Father. In his humanity, he had never forsaken his Father. In his humanity, he has never known what it is to be spiritually thirsty. But as he hung on that cross, in his humanity, Jesus took our thirst as his own. He died thirsty. He died the death that we should have died because we have forsaken him, because we have forsaken God. He faced the right and the just anger of God for the way that we have treated God. Thirst isn't just a picture of the effects of having cut ourselves off from God, but it's also a graphic picture of the agony of God's judgment against our forsaking him. Elsewhere in Scripture, it describes hell facing God's judgment as a place of fire that never goes out. In Luke, Jesus tells us the story of a man named Lazarus who ends up in hell, and he begs at one point in the story that someone can just put a drop of water on the end of his tongue because he's suffering the agony of God's judgment. When Jesus says, I am thirsty, he is taking upon himself our thirst for the way that we have treated God. He is taking upon himself the separation and the punishment from God that our forsaking of him deserves. And that's why Jesus, and we saw in John 7, that's why Jesus can then hold out this invitation. And he says, if anyone comes to me, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Because Jesus is the one who took our thirst as his own so that he could give us living water to drink, that we could be restored to this living and loving and lasting relationship with God, with him. Jesus takes our thirst so that we can be restored to life as we drink from him. Life without Jesus is a thirsty life because you are rejecting the one who has made it possible for you to drink. That's why life without Jesus is thirsty. He is the spring of living water. Jesus suffered the agony and the thirst of death, both physically and spiritually, that we deserve, so that we could drink living water. There is another powerful picture in this part of John's Gospel that illustrates this truth that Jesus gives us water to drink. Just scan your eyes down to verse 34, where we finished our reading this morning. As Jesus dies, the soldier pierces Jesus' side, and a flow of blood and water comes out, both rich images in the book of John. Now, maybe I'm pushing it too far, but John, I think, wants us to see that as Jesus died thirsty, he did it so that we could enjoy drinking from the flow, the spring of living water. Without Jesus, you will live thirsty. Without Jesus, you will die thirsty. Without Jesus, you will face the thirsty, eternal suffering of God's judgments and separation from Him. But with Jesus, you can know our thirst is taken away because Jesus took it upon Himself. We will never face God's judgment. We will never face the thirst and agony of God's judgment for our forsaking Him. Why? Because Jesus took it for us. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Have you asked Jesus to take your thirst? Have you asked Jesus to stand in your place and take away the thirst that we have because of the way we've rejected God? You can. You can have arrived here this morning thirsty, but you can leave here having drunk from Jesus, having your thirst quenched. Jesus wants to restore us to a loving and living relationship with God this morning. So Jesus, life without Jesus is thirsty because He's the spring of living water. Life without Jesus is thirsty because He's the only one who can take our thirst and give us water to drink. And thirdly and finally, life without Jesus is thirsty because Jesus alone quenches our thirst. Being restored to a loving and lasting relationship with Jesus only happens as we come to Jesus to drink. He's the only one who can take away that thirst of our forsaking of God. Jesus alone can satisfy the thirst of our broken relationship. There's no alternative to that. But I want to suggest that just as we regularly have to go to the tap to quench our physical thirst, actually it's the same with Jesus. As we live in a world that has forsaken God, we experience thirst on many occasions. By that I mean we feel the thirst of our feelings, that need to be helped, that need, that thirst to be comforted, that thirst to be loved. That thirst of fear when we're afraid of something and we long to be helped in our fear. That thirst of being lonely, the thirst of lacking wisdom. As those of us this morning who are here who are already drinking from Jesus for our restored relationship with God, then we must be those who also go to... I mean, why would we go to anyone else to drink? Why would we do that? But that's the danger, isn't it? That we look to other things to quench our thirst, but we don't look to Jesus. Do you remember that verse I put up from Jeremiah? There was two sins listed there. One was forsaking God, but the other one was that they went and dug their own water source. They tried to make their own solution, but they didn't hold water. It didn't quench thirst. It says they dug their own cisterns that were cracked and dry. But actually, their mistake is our mistake, isn't it, so often? That actually every day for the follower of Jesus is a day where we should keep going to Jesus to drink. Remember that He is the spring of living water. He is the source of life. He is the one who restores this relationship with God. Why go anywhere else to satisfy our thirst? Just think about some of the situations we might face. What about the situation of getting ill? Or maybe the situation where we are facing death? It means that we thirst, don't we, in those situations? We thirst perhaps for comfort. We thirst for peace. We thirst to feel protected. We thirst to feel safe. Why go anywhere else other than the Lord Jesus? I'm not denying that there is help of others, but they won't quench our thirst. In Jesus is the comfort and the help of one who knows what it is to suffer. Just look at Him hanging on the cross. He knows suffering from the inside out. And therefore He is able to help us and provide all that we need in our suffering. Jesus alone can quench our thirst. Anything else will leave you thirsty. Or what about if you've got a difficult decision to make in life at the moment? The thirst for wisdom, the thirst for understanding. You might feel the thirst of needing clarity about what's the right thing to do. What is a good choice? What is a bad choice? Now, how quickly do we go to the spring of living water for help? Jesus, the source of all wisdom, the Bible says. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Why go anywhere else to drink? When we thirst in our marriages, when we thirst as parents, when we thirst in our fear of certain circumstances, we must keep going to Jesus, the spring of living water, to drink. Digging our own water sources will leave us thirsty, because life without Jesus is a thirsty life. If we stop going to Jesus and drinking from him, then we can expect a thirsty life. Jesus invites us in John 7. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus wants to give us living water. In fact, he wants to give it to us more than we're often willing to go and take it from him. We need to remember that Jesus is everything we need for everything we will ever face. He is the spring of living water. He is the spring of living water who can satisfy every thirst that we face, the thirst that this world projects on us, the thirst that our battle with sin gives us. Thirst after thirst we will encounter, but Jesus can satisfy it. Trying to live your life without Jesus will be a thirsty life, because he is the one who took our thirst upon himself. Jesus alone is the one who can quench our thirst as we continue to drink from him. I must finish. But Jesus, as he hangs on the cross, says the words, I am thirsty. And in those words is a message that life without Jesus is a thirsty life. And maybe we can just flip it around as we finish, because what it means is that life with Jesus is a life where your thirst is quenched. Why? Because he's the spring of living water. Why? Because he's the one who took our thirst so that we could then drink this from the spring of living water, so that we could be restored to living and lasting and loving relationship with God forever. And because Jesus is the one who wants us to keep on coming, there is no one else who can quench your thirst like Jesus does. Jesus says, come to me and drink. Will you do that this morning, either for the first time or as an ongoing thing? Let's bow our heads and pray together. We're just going to have a moment's quiet. Perhaps in that moment of quiet, you want to ask Jesus to take your thirst. You want to say sorry, perhaps, for forsaking Jesus, the spring of living water, and to ask Jesus to give you a living, loving, and lasting relationship with him. Or maybe this morning there are things that we need to say sorry for as we have tried to drink from water sources that won't satisfy. Maybe there is a thirst this morning that you need to take to Jesus as he invites us to drink. Let's just take a moment's quiet to pray. Our God and our Father, we want to thank you this morning for Jesus. We want to thank you more than anything else that he is the one who willingly took upon himself in his humanity our thirst, that he faced the separation from you that our thirst symbolizes, that he faced the agonizing suffering of your judgment that our forsaking of you deserves. And we thank you that as we come to him, he wants to give us living water to drink. He wants to restore us to a living and a loving and a lasting relationship with you. Father, thank you for Jesus. Father, please forgive us for times where we have sought to drink from water sources that are cracked and dry and hold no water. Father, help us, please, to daily drink of Jesus, the spring of living water. And we ask this, please, in his name. Amen.